extreme radio for extreme times. This is A View from Space with the Spaceman on Talk Radio AM 640.
I'm the guy to call space. This is A View from Space. I'd like to welcome you in if you're driving around town right now, or if you're at work listening to AM 640, picking up the signal there. I welcome you in. Or if you're listening to me right now on Shaw Direct on channel 865, picking up the signal there, I welcome you in also. If you're listening to me on your 3 or your 4G personal communication device by the Stream the World software, I welcome you in. Or if you're what some call the best seat in the house, sitting in front of your Mac or your PC at home, logged on to 640toronto.com, picking up the live audio streaming there, I welcome you in. Wherever you are in this world, I welcome you in. This world you and I live in is being readied. Can you tell? Prepared. Prepared to accept, to be complicit in implementing an idea that's been steadily worked on to accomplish for more than 2,000 years. When you understand this premise, known as the New World Order, and what it really is, you will be able to see it actually forming and how it's being gradually implemented quite clearly in our headlines in the Illuminati-controlled mass media every single day. The New World Order is coming. The Illuminati are preparing you, shaping your mind, your day-to-day thoughts. They believe you will soon be ready. Russian humanitarian aid, for instance, has now moved on to its next stage. The Russian trucks have been searched and found to be full of things like water, generators, cereals, and other foodstuffs and items. They grew tired of waiting, the Russians said, for clearance to cross over the border of Ukraine and have entered the country without authorization. Some of these trucks, and most of them, are on their way back to Russia after being unloaded. After, what, about a little more than a week journey to go a few thousand clicks? Sounds very humanitarian, though, doesn't it? Well, hold on. Not so fast. Making that judgment, the Illuminati-controlled mass media aren't stating that at all. They are not, in fact, an humanitarian gesture, these trucks, but in fact, they state it's a precursor to a Russian invasion. You see what I mean by preparing you, readying you? No, a Russian invasion is coming. Putin and the head of the EU. Well, Germany, which is the head of the EU, Angela Merkel, the Chancellor, meets next week. That will be interesting. Now, let me take you back just a little bit. Remember the cruel decapitation, the beheading of an American journalist from the Wall Street Journal in 2002? His name was Daniel Pearl. Let me remind you about that. Then again, in 2004, involving a contract worker in Iraq, his name was Nick Berg. It happened again, another beheading. After Daniel Pearl, no one ever thought back in 2002, never thought in their wildest imagination that it would ever happen again. Everybody had forgotten about it, too, for 2 years. But it all started up again, and it was again repeated. That event, repeating, Nick Berg, this Illuminati event shocked people around the world, many of whom had thought they were beyond shock at that point back then. After all, we have all been inundated, haven't we, with images of horror, terror, war, torture, sexual degradation, to a degree I would say that is unheard of in the modern age, all occurring after 9/11. When you sit down and really think about it, everything did change, just as they keep stating, because of the attacks of 9/11. 9/11 was meant to be the signal for the change. It was meant to be that way, specifically ordered so by our global overlords. There have now been six, count them, six beheadings of Americans and some Brits in the Middle East involving the war on terrorism. As I've already stated, 2002, Wall Street Journal reporter Daniel Pearl kidnapped, beheaded, Karachi, Pakistan. That video, shown on the internet, way back in February of 2002. In 2002, YouTube hadn't even appeared on the internet yet. Oh, but when it did, that gave them a direct pipeline to your mind, your spirit, through your eyes. In 2004, the beheadings ritual and symbolism then started again, and it gained momentum big time. Civilians Nick Berg, Jack Hensley, Eugene Armstrong were kidnapped and beheaded in Iraq. The Nick Berg video was posted May 2004. Hensley beheaded September 22nd, 2004, the following day. The group beheaded fellow American Jack Hensley and threatened to kill their third hostage, Eugene Armstrong, unless the United States met their demands. Just as they are today with this latest beheading, that of James Foley. And also threatened to kill Stephen Sotloff, who disappeared during a reporting trip in Syria in August of last year. Now, Kenneth Bigley was a British civil engineer who was decapitated October 7th, 2004. That threat was carried out with Armstrong also shortly after he was beheaded in October of 2004. And that video also, posted on the internet. An interesting sidebar to the Kenny Bigley story is that he was actually Irish, not British. Well, sort of. He had dual citizenship. The British columnist and author Mark Steyn had his column actually pulled from the British Daily Telegraph back in 2004, in October 11th, when he wrote the column. He wrote that Bigley's last words, "Tony Blair has not done enough for me," Tony Blair, then the Prime Minister of Britain, would not be high up on his list of final utterances. Kenny Bigley's mother, Lil, back then was 86 years old, had been born in Dublin and was therefore entitled to be a citizen of the Republic of Ireland. This meant Bigley himself was also an Irish citizen from birth. And it was hoped this status, this unique status, because the Irish never joined in on the war on terror, that would aid his release, as Ireland did not participate in the 2003 invasion of Iraq. And the Irish government even issued Bigley an Irish passport in absentia, which was shown on Al Jazeera television. Irish Labour Party spokesman on Foreign Affairs, Mike Higgins at the time, made an appeal on Al Jazeera's Sinn Féin leader. Gerry Adams also made a couple of appeals. Big Lee's family, particularly his brother Paul, was successful with the help of the Irish government in getting some support for Big Lee's release from the Palestinian leader, then still alive, Yasser Arafat. King Abdullah of Jordan was on his side. Even Colonel Gaddafi, who was then running Libya, who all made public statements to free this man. Back with more on these beheadings and this readying for this New World Order appearance ahead. This is A View from Space. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm Space, and I'm just getting started. Space at 640Toronto.com or Spaceman at 640Toronto.com. I have two email addresses and communicate by email only. And thanks for the one that you have sent me. I start rolling in before the show even begins, as I say every show, because they do. Kenny Bigley and all of these beheadings. I was into the Kenny Bigley story before the break. Being an Irish dual citizen as well as a Brit, was appealing to family, appealing Gerry Adams, Sinn Féin leader then, made a couple of appeals to his captors to let him go because Ireland never participated in the invasion of Iraq in 2003. As I said before the break, Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat made statements about it. King Abdullah of Jordan and Colonel Gaddafi of Libya. Can you believe it? They're all gone now. But they made public statements back then. A third video was released on September 29th showing Kenny Bigley chained inside of a small chicken wire cage, wearing an orange boiler suit apparently intended to be reminiscent of those that they wear in the U.S. detainment facility at Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, Gitmo. In the video, Kenny Bigley again begs for his life, saying, "Tony Blair is lying. He doesn't care about me. I'm just one person." The kidnappers made a film apparently showing Bigley's killing. And the tape was posted on Islamic websites and on one shock site. According to reporters who watched the film, Bigley, wearing an orange jumpsuit, read out a statement before one of the kidnappers steps forward and cuts off his head with the knife. The bloodied head then placed on top of Bigley's abdomen. And how about this Irish twist to the story? During that exact same time frame, near the beheading, to gain an even greater headline, thus attention for this event, the Scottish comedian Billy Connolly, doing an 18-night stand at London's Hammersmith Apollo Theatre, makes a joke about the threat to behead Kenny Bigley. You gotta understand now, at this time, the beheading had not yet been carried out. But there was talk about it and these appeals, as I've been telling you about. You have to understand, he's still alive, being in captivity with his captors threatening to kill him, behead him. So he reportedly asks his audience, "Don't you just wish they would just get on with it?" Connolly soundly booed after making that statement, that crass comment. And he started right after that going on about Kenny Bigley's Thai wife, Sambat. He was even heavily criticized in the British press for this. It had legs, as we say in the business. The story goes on for a few days for making jokes about Bigley before it even happened. As if it did happen and time would pass and you could do it then, making it okay. I don't think so. but it garnered more attention to the event than you could ever imagine. And that's what it was all about. With this latest one with Jim Foley, the Pope. Pope Francis actually makes a telephone call. When was the last time you ever heard of a Pope making a call to a family and offering condolences? When? The word that comes to a mind immediately would be never, right? Why? To give it power. To get people's attention. To elevate the story. They called upon Pope Francis and said, "Hey, Franny, you're calling the family and apologizing." They took another kick in the teeth, too, at the Vatican the other day. One of the largest U.S. banks, the Bank of America, which is Vatican-owned, is paying a record fine of nearly $17 billion. There's that number again. Nearly $17 billion because of bad housing loans it sold to investors, which they're saying helped trigger the world recession. It didn't really, but that's what they're saying to give this story weight. But it is the largest fine ever. It brings now the total to $127 billion paid out by banks in fines. You talk about a global economic hit. I bet you every place where every single person listening to me now works, I can say, they're downsizing at your corporation, aren't they? They're cutting this and cutting that, aren't they? Yes, they are, because guess what? There was never, ever, since 2008, any recovery whatsoever. That was totally an illusion. Propped up by printing $85 billion per month since 2008. That's what America's been doing. It's going down to $38 billion per month. But it's still out there. That's why the stock market is setting record after record. But yes, the Vatican took a hit with the Bank of America, $17 billion fine. Drop it in the bucket for them, though. But it is a slap in the wrist. And in fact, really, you can look at this and say, the Illuminati just told the Vatican what the hell to do. You're doing this. You're coughing some of this money up. Oh, and we need you to call the family. James Foley's family. We want to elevate this thing big time. The Pope has never, ever done that. Not just this Pope, any Pope. No, we're getting very, very close to this new world order and its birthing time. And you know what birthing is all about. There's a little pain that comes with it. Now back to the events, the Illuminati events. The latest big twist now is the beheadings. In 2004, Paul Marshall Johnson Jr., civilian, working in Saudi Arabia, he worked for Lockheed Martin, was upgrading Saudi AH-64A Apache attack helicopters before he got kidnapped. And then, beheaded, June 18th, 2004. 04 was a bad year for beheadings. In the murder video, after making the statements, one of the shots is the execution already in progress of Paul Marshall Johnson Jr. He's lying on a bed with what appears to be three men holding him down as one militant severs his head. Always masked, though. You never know who they are. You'll never find out either. Unlike the Nick Berg, Eugene Armstrong videos, There's no screaming in this one. The video was also similar to that of Daniel Pearl, as a matter of fact, who was killed in Pakistan, as I said before, in 2002, and Kim Sung-il, a South Korean who was killed in Iraq during the same month, not long after Mr. Johnson Jr. was killed in Saudi Arabia. Now, I don't mean the North Korean leader here. That's Kim Il-sung, who is now deceased and his son has taken over. This is Kim Sung-il, a South Korean. And the internet site called Anime, the company which posted the video images of his murder, immediately come out and defend showing his execution. You know why that is? To ramp it up, to get it out there, and to draw attention. Hey, we think this was a very, very astute thing that we did. We're informing people of what... You know the story. These beheadings traumatize all of the citizens of the world, especially the ones who watch these videos in the Western world, because that's who it's aimed at. After all, it's really us in the Western world here who are the intended targets of these macabre messages. Yes, you and I. It's a typical comment going around that you would hear after people watch these videos that are posted, because that's really the bullet to shoot you with. But for some reason, a lot of people will gladly step in front of that bullet. I don't know, it's curiosity, it's a macabre desire, I don't know what it is. For each person, it's different, that will watch, that will look for it and find it and watch it. So a typical comment would be, "Oh, I saw the," insert your name here, "beheading, and vowed to never, ever watch anything like that again. I had nightmares for days after that." You see, this does get to the spirit. And the mind is the battle zone for the spirit. These public beheadings are first designed to traumatize, to paralyze the average unsuspecting Western citizen. Secondly, to demonize the ones who are supposedly responsible for the action. And third, the magic three. The final third. To build up an anger inside of Western citizens, even spiritually, against this chosen demonized enemy, which the Illuminati points out and says they did it, and incites a country to retaliate with the same hatred in their hearts and to get behind a decision to go to war against this barbaric enemy. These beheading videos are one of the most powerful propaganda tools available to the Illuminati today to get to you. Your mind first, then your spirit. I'm a spaceman. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. This is AVFS. I'm back in a minute. I'm a guy to call space. This is a View from Space. Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. Thank you for the one that you sent. Now, I just want to say, call this person AP. I hope you touch on the fact that this latest video, referring to James Foley's video, may very well be fake. You don't actually see it happen, and there are questionable things about the video, not to mention the UK government supposedly is making viewing the video itself a terrorist attack. How about that? Well, whether it is fake or not, it's really beside the point because the shock value is already still there. It may or it may not be James Foley, and I haven't researched it totally and completely yet because it's pretty hard to get all the information, but it appears as though he may have been a CIA operative. As a matter of fact, James Foley in a few pictures looks quite different. Then the video again looks different again. But it's so hard to tell now because of how you can touch up video. But the point is, the shock value remains whether you believe it was faked or not, because you get this feeling from it of disgust, terror. You don't look at it and go, oh, that was fake. Yeah, click that off. That's nothing. No, you get the feeling of a macabre act, but you don't know what's behind it. Now, when you don't actually see it happening, as my emailer is saying, questionable things about the video, that's a Westerner's view. Another emailer I have from MB, quite enlightening, from the Toronto area here, on the Foley beheading. They write, I know you have been up on this, having worked in Saudi Arabia and having unwittingly come across a public beheading one time in a market in Jeddah. I can tell you that beheadings of Americans are a big draw. They're not meant to be private occurrences in Saudi Arabia. Saudi people salivated and pushed the Americans, my emailer writes, to the front so they could get a picture of the decapitation. By the look of the terrain in this video of James Foley, it must have been videotaped far, far away from any town to get a background, which is without even one tumbleweed in the frame, channeling Stanley Kubrick. Signed MB. Now listen to me now. The terrain could easily be, yes, photoshopped. See, I don't want to get into that part of it tonight. I may when more information comes out about it, because it is quite suspect, this James Foley slaying. For instance, the parents, quite stoic, almost unfeeling, most of the time. And the impact of an American being decapitated again is enough. It will suffice, do the job. It will start the process of, first of all, the White House reacting, the Pentagon doing. And that's what is about to happen. Is this possibly a reason to get into the Syrian battle? Because you see, James Foley was kidnapped not once, but twice. That's another very interesting, strange phenomenon about this particular decapitation. Yes, the Libyan invasion. He actually was one of the reasons why the Americans went into Libya as this captured journalist. And then captured again later in Syria. Is that his job in the CIA? To be playing that role? And now his mission has come to an end. See, we'll never know for sure. You can only make up your own mind and leave it at that. the fact remains, the Illuminati-controlled mass media use it to ramp up events. In this case, possibly Syria. Already one American general. They don't have a 4-star general anymore. It was only a 3-star general. Their highest general said, if you want to get rid of ISIS, you've got to go to Syria. And, of course, Iraq is where ISIS is making headway also. Nick Berg was the American businessman who was in Iraq after the U.S. invasion, was abducted, executed, according to a video released May 2004 by Islamic militants, they say, in response to the Abu Ghraib torture and prison abuse involving the United States. Remember, Abu Ghraib was over in Kuwait. And it showed the U.S. Army torturing, abusing these Islamic militants that they captured. So Nick Berg's abduction and execution was in retaliation response to that. So you can see one, and the CIA claims Berg was personally murdered by Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The decapitation video, released on the internet, reportedly from London, England, to a Malaysian-hosted homepage by the Islamic organization Al-Ansar's. Yeah, you knew London, England would be involved at some point. Who's doing all of these beheadings, you ask? There are three possible answers. There are three groups, possibly, who could have beheaded him. One, the Islamic jihadists, just like the Illuminati-controlled mass media is stating. Number two, Muslim members of the Arabic secret society, Memphis Misraim, obsessed with beheading rituals. Or, if it isn't them, is it members of the Illuminist Palladium Rite, who incorporated all of the degrees of the Memphis Misraim I just mentioned? Members of this group are not only obsessed with beheading rituals, and as you can tell by my emailer from Saudi Arabia, worked in Saudi Arabia here, that I read just a few moments ago, these are common occurrences in the Middle East. So how many times has the Rolling Stones been to your city, if you live in a large city? Well, that's about what happens with beheadings in the Middle East. They come along quite often. They're always on tour. City Square, City Center. Get big crowds. But it's not like the Westerner believes about it. It's a different way of life. So, is it the Islamic jihadists, like the Illuminati-controlled mass media says? Is it Memphis Misraim, the secret society in the Arab world? Or is it the Illuminist Palladium Rite, who incorporate all of the degrees of Memphis Misraim, and are not only obsessed with beheading rituals, but ascribe to the meaning of killing the old world order so that the new order may arise? Let me give you some insight to help you make up your mind, because you just don't have to make up your mind right now, just yet, on which of these three groups that I've just named you think are responsible, or you're convinced are responsible. The jihadists, Memphis Misraim, or Palladium Rite, who are connected, by the way. So there's really only two, but there are three. Because Memphis Misraim is separate from the Palladium Rite. They're different people, that's all. Controlled as are the jihadists, as is the Western militaries from each country controlled by the Illuminati. So let me give you some insight to help you make up your mind on who you think it might be. Because they're always with masks, they always say who they are, but they don't give out names. They could be anybody. And all the videos could be shot in London, for God's sake. Who knows? In England. Spaceman back with more in a moment. With the insight to help you make up your mind. On Talk Radio AM 640, this is ABFS. I'm the Spaceman. It's Talk Radio AM 640. I'm a spaceman. This is View from Space. It's Talk Radio AM 640. I communicate by email only. space@640toronto.com, one address. spaceman@640toronto.com, the other address. WM writes, listening in Toronto here in Canada, why would crazy people like ISIS do the bidding of the Illuminati anyway? Islamist militants believe in their own perverted version of the Quran and seem highly unlikely to make themselves subservient to a bunch of infidels who evidently worship the sun, Egyptian Sumerian style, not to mention the evil Lord Shaitan, their name for Satan. I could possibly accept the premise that the world's royal families are under the thumb of some secret organization, but as far as I know, there are no royals in ISIS. Unless I suppose their caliph in waiting claims to be a descendant of Muhammad. Just curious, WM. Well, Prince Charles does claim to have been descended from Muhammad, the prophet. That is correct. Not my words. Buckingham Palace's. And I don't have time to go through the lineage, at least on tonight's show, but I will again sometime, and I have done before. But you would not believe the incredible list of ancestors in that family. Now on to ISIS. Where do you think ISIS gets their money anyway? I just told you about a $17 billion fine on Bank of America. The big bank in France, Paribas, just got nailed for money laundering. All of the banks are corrupt. You know that as well as I do. But no banker has yet been charged. And I put it to you this way. The banking cabal of Europe, who have all the money and control all of the world's economies from London, England, actually are the ones that are doing all the funding. The money comes from the top. That's how ISIS can do the bidding of the Illuminati. And they are the third party. They never get into a fight unless they can win it. Remember, this is an over 2,000-year struggle to implement a global governance. Takes time. And it takes the power. And it takes money. They have them all. So they pit one side against the other and pay for both. Not out of their own pockets, of course. They get the taxpayers of the countries to pay the price. Except for ISIS, who will get a gift of money to go, and British Armed Forces, the American Armed Forces, same thing, a gift of money to buy the weaponry, do the research, build the newest, biggest, best weapon, because the Illuminati have always had the biggest, best weapon. And know how to get into a fight, back both sides and control the outcome. It's been done throughout history. So, back now to give you some insight, help you make up your mind on which of those three groups I've named a few minutes ago are responsible for these beheadings. Nick Berg was held by Iraqi police for 13 days. Coalition forces also, Americans and British, for 11. Yes, Nick Berg was held for 13 days by Iraq, and the British and the Americans held him for 11 days. Did you know that black magic Freemasonry has a symbol? For degrees number 9 through 11. Do you have any knowledge of what that depicts in the world of the occult? I'm talking about the degrees in Mephisrus Misraim of 9 through 11. 9, 10, and 11. A decapitated head by a short sword is the symbol. This symbol depicts the destruction of the old order so the new world order can be established. One has to go so the new one may appear. Now, you turn your radio up. I'm about to change the entire way you think about this latest beheading and of all the ones in the past. This one of James Foley and the other 5. That's been plastered all over the Illuminati-controlled mass media. And these past beheadings that have been posted on the internet that you've endured. Who benefits from these grotesque beheadings? Well, both sides of this global battle do. Both sides. Of course, as I said, again, controlled by the Illuminati. It ramps up a fight. A war must be caused to establish this new world order. Otherwise, the world's citizens will not be complicit. Go along with the idea. They must be so sick of bloodshed and man's inhumanity to man so that they will finally say yes, anything, please, anything but this. You see, it shocks and disgusts one side, these videos of beheadings, while the other controlled side, these gruesome videos showing the beheading, actually are fueling the popularity of groups like ISIS coming out of nowhere with all kinds of, like the general said a couple of days ago in the Illuminati-controlled mass media, we've never seen anything like this before. They're very powerful. Up out of nowhere, right? Yeah. Check the European bankers to see how that was built. Yes, these gruesome videos are actually fueling the popularity on the other side of the world. At least that's what the Illuminati-controlled mass media are leading you to believe. See, we're living in a world of illusion today. This pot of venomous hatred and cruelty that is now highly disseminated around the world via the internet has begun in earnest. It started back in April 30th of 2004. That's when the New Yorker newspaper shocked the world with its long and detailed exposé of how American prison guards, just following orders, and torturing, sexually abusing, and humiliating many Iraqi men and women in the now infamous Abu Ghraib prison. Every day since that date, April 30th, 2004, we've been exposed to more and more images than we will ever care to see. Now, why do you suppose the Illuminati-controlled mass media controlled by the Western broadcasters, why do you think they would be showing their own prison guards torturing and sexually abusing and humiliating all those Iraqi men and women that you saw? Probably, well, you did on the Illuminati-controlled mass media newscast, but the videos too. Why do you think they did that? Because it stirs the pot. Because it gets people up in arms. We've been exposed to more images than we will now ever care to see again from both sides. Do you recall at all the Abu Ghraib images of torture, of sexual humiliation, of waterboarding committed by the Americans? And who knows what else? Remember now, both sides controlled by the Illuminists. After those images I've just reminded you of back in April of 2004, suddenly the video screens of the world were filled on May 11th with images of alleged Islamic fighters viciously beheading an American contract worker, Nick Berg. That's the one that shocked the world. Daniel Pearl woke him up in 2002. The Nick Berg 2004 beheading shocked the world. More when I return on Talk Radio. AM 640, it's AVFS. I'm Space. I'm a guy to call Space. This is A View from Space. It's all it is. Talk Radio, AM 640. I have no Twitter account, by the way. Can't follow me. I have no internet presence. No Facebook. I have no website. I have no cell phone. I have a very small, tiny cyber footprint. I communicate by email only at space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. One emailer writes, CC, oddly enough, there's James Foley, and then there's the word Foley. Same spelling as James' last name. As a matter of fact, James Foley was a journalist who specialized in video pieces for his company. And Foley in Hollywood, say, for example, is the reproduction of everyday sound effects that are added to film, video, and other media in post-production to enhance audio quality. These reproduced sounds can be anything from the swishing of clothing, footsteps, for example, to squeaky doors, even breaking glass. The best Foley art, as they call it, is so well integrated into a film that if it goes unnoticed by the audience, that's what was intended. But what it does do to the subconscious, it helps to create a sense of reality within that scene you watch. The word Foley itself is used to describe a place. There's the Foley stage, or the Foley studio, where the Foley process actually is put together, takes place. My emailer, CC, has also sent me an FBI website with the James Foley decapitation and states, this does not look like the expression of a man who is near to being decapitated. As a matter of fact, that's what James Foley's brother said about him, that he never flinched when it came to his death and was always doing good for the world. Well, they're really invoking a lot of people to believe this person was as righteous as you could be. And what I usually do when I watch the Illuminati-controlled mass media is I think the opposite of what I see. And I'm usually on the money. Because it's usually the opposite, the very opposite of what they're stating that actually happened. Now, I just told you about chance of this Foley decapitation scene video possibly staged. But how about this emailer? I should tell you that beheadings, Saudi Arabia, regular occurrences, Middle East, they're performed just after the last prayer call is completed. A lot of audience vocalization. One executioner, I was told by an employee of the Royal Palace, gets quite agitated when they're not working. And by the way, lots of recruitment by Americans of personnel down here. Downtown hospitals, here in Toronto, my emailer is referring to, tax-free American money. And there's this, my emailer writes, I saw an execution, decapitation, square in Saudi Arabia. I walked back to my hotel, saw a group of men squatting in front of a TV shop. I couldn't believe what I saw. There they were, watching old VHS tapes of wrestling matches filmed at Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And there's no way that they would ever be convinced that that was from Toronto and it was staged. Wrestling matches all staged. So you see, it's quite a different world. They use different ways to control different parts of the population of the world. But they've been at it for so long and have controlled the media for so long, I've always controlled the media, that they can mold and shape people's views on things. That's why the media exists. Let's be honest with each other for once. They're to sway your opinion. That's what I try to do every single show. But I hope that I'm bringing some insight and a different view. One that is, we're being played for patsies, and they want us to do and react certain ways. And so I try and point that out every single show here on AM 640 Talk Radio on A View from Space. So this pot of venomous hatred and cruelty that we're now enduring daily almost all started with the Abu Ghraib torturing of Islamic militants during the war in Iraq. And ever since then, all has been retaliation. Because now, no one knows really who started it or what started it. But you like a campfire. You get a little bit of moss. You get a little bit of very small pieces of wood. Start burning it. It's a little flicker, a little flame. And pretty soon it's a great raging bonfire. The Illuminati know how to do that so well. So as I said, after the images of Abu Ghraib, suddenly the video screens of the world filled with images of alleged Islamic fighters viciously beheading an American contract worker, Nick Berg. I say alleged Islamic fighters because they were so covered from head to toe, no one really can identify who they are or their ethnic origin. The beheading was shown on the video, allowing those interested to view the bloody carnage frame by frame, should they so choose. Propaganda at its zenith. The executioners identified themselves as being Al-Qaeda back then, and the head executioner was portrayed as a deputy of Osama bin Laden. Yes, that feared name back then. Then, all of a sudden, almost all of the shock and awe produced by the American and British videos of the prison atrocity scandals at Abu Ghraib were swept away, well, temporarily at least, by this unbelievable beheading on the internet. We couldn't conceive of it ever happening again after Daniel Pearl in 2002. Well, 2 years later, Nick Berg, along with two others. But for some reason, Nick Berg was the one that was chosen by the Illuminati-controlled mass media to run with. The whole world was shocked into disbelief and denial. Even the terrorist group Hezbollah was purported to have stated that the level of atrocity is not the work of the peaceful Islamic religion. The Sunni and Shia Muslim groups in Iraq said the same thing, even though Muslim Chechen fighters committed similar types of atrocities against Russian soldiers, and even though beheading is the preferred manner of execution throughout the Muslim Middle East. In the West, we take a very different view of that. The atrocities committed by the American and British guards at Abu Ghraib throughout the military prison system in Iraq, Afghanistan, and then in Gitmo, Cuba, but successfully enraged the Muslim world. And now this beheading of Nick Berg seemed destined to similarly outrage the Western world's psyche. If somebody wanted to deliberately provoke a war, these two events would potentially set both sides into blind anger and a desire for revenge against one another. Precisely the very idea the Illuminati had in mind. And by the programming of the Illuminati-controlled mass media, this week, it seems, well, it's working. And there's nothing new under the sun. It's simply history repeating itself yet again. Back with more on the other side of the break. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm the guy to call Space. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. My emailer, OZN, writes, talking about Prince Charles and his lineage and about beheadings, Prince Charles also claims he's related to Vlad the Impaler, who was decapitated. Yes. And another one from an emailer saying, yes, they are downsizing, when I was talking about a corporation that you work for, if they were cutting. And this one from Georgetown in Texas, column J. All of these things the Illuminati use are the Hegelian dialectic. From George Hegel, the Freemason, who created this idea. It's sort of a little, well, actually, it's a great formula for changing the world, changing your neighborhood, changing anything. First of all, you create the problem. You get the desired reaction from the people, then you provide a solution. I often explain the Hegelian dialectic in this way. You want to ban guns because you want guns off the street? Don't ban anything. Never do that. If you want guns off the streets, flood the streets with guns. Create the problem. watch all those guns go off and people getting killed, innocent people every day, people will start to get a reaction of, these guns are a problem, get rid of them. And you provide the solution. Ban the gun. You see how it works. And if you look carefully at the way society is being molded today, this is being constantly done. That's why there's a lot of people saying these are hoaxes. What they really mean is, hey, the event may have happened, but it was an event that was caused, staged to effect a change. Okay? At least that's what I usually mean by hoax. Now, as I said before the break, there is nothing new under the sun. Simply history repeating itself again because the Illuminati have been pitting one side against the other for so long now, and it works every time, so they keep using the same things. Pit company against company, country against country, man against woman, black against white. You see what I mean? And you can create the problem. Right now it's borders. Borders are going to become a huge problem because they want to get rid of them. They will get the desired reaction from you and I. We can't do business anymore. We're held up here. We can't go in there. There's this, there's that. Borders are a problem. Well, we'll get rid of borders. That comes with the new world order. Oh, and don't you find it curious that this week, as the Jim Foley decapitation dominates the screens now, this week, early on, don't you find it curious that the Ferguson, Missouri riots over the murder of the young black teenager, Michael Brown, that absolutely dominated all video screens, curiously, de-escalated in a very quick hurry in order to make way for this next Illuminati event, the beheading of American James Foley, which is possibly a precursor to entering the problems in Syria. So now, with that in mind, researchers like myself have discovered a little-known Arabic black magic Masonic group. I discovered these a few years ago. As a matter of fact, when the Nick Berg decapitation of 2004 happened, the group is called Memphis Misraim. And of course, and I'm talking about Memphis, Tennessee, which is named after the original Memphis, which was, of course, in ancient Egypt. I first spoke about this group back in 2004, as I said, when I did a show on the Nick Berg decapitation. If you caught that particular show, I was mentioning that this Masonic group, yes, I said Masonic group. It has very intriguing symbols for their progressing degrees from 9 through 11, just as I stated earlier on in tonight's show. There are a depiction, these symbols for these degrees, 9 through 11. There are a series of human decapitation symbols. It's always done by an Arabic short sword or long knife. The symbol is even displayed on a similar-looking typical Masonic apron. Now, as you look closer at this symbol, you've got to think how closely it parallels not only the horrific beheading of Nick Berg, but of this latest one of James Foley. Now, if you viewed the images captured on video of the executioner holding up the severed heads of Nick Berg and this one of James Foley, I'm not recommending you go to the video and watch it. But you would see, take my word for it and don't go, you would see an uncanny resemblance of the symbols in the Masonic-connected Memphis Mithraim cult, of their symbolism used for the degrees 9, 10, and 11. The Masonic symbol closely parallels the one presented in the videos of Nick Berg and James Foley. Their heads, both severed by strong executioners, wielding an Arabic short sword, or what you could describe as a long knife. After these symbolic beheadings were completed, the executioners then hold the severed heads up, grasping their hair, blood dripping off both the knife and out of the neck of the victim. This is the exact symbol used for the degrees of 9 through 11 in the Memphis Mithraim Masonic cult. Is there a parallel that is a simple coincidence here? I have to say no. That's no coincidence. What this shadowy group of Arabic Freemasons who go by the name of Memphis Mithraim, who are they? Memphis Mithraim, it's a small, little-known Masonic group based on Arabic and Egyptian black magic. And they are, of course, deeply satanic and very powerful throughout the Middle East. Any Arab Mason who dares to disobey the edict of the top commander of Memphis Mithraim literally puts his life at risk. This group is very powerful and feared, but their top commander does not wield absolute power. No. I told you this satanic cult is controlled by the top leadership of International Illuminized Freemasonry, the Illuminati. This means that if the Illuminati is pursuing a deliberate Third World War, provoking two sides, getting that strategy of deliberately provoking a fight, these beheading incidents couldn't have been better propaganda to fire up the people. Not to mention get their attention. But what it really does is twofold. First, the Muslims are now enraged by the West's deliberate destruction and desecration of their mosques with the bombings, and by our killing of large numbers of civilians that live there, because remember, it's all about the civilians only. Yes, the Western armies kill civilians, because that's who the enemy is. The enemy of the Illuminati are the citizens of the world, to try and turn them around and get them thinking in a new way. Yes, these Muslims are enraged by the deliberate destruction of their buildings, their churches, their mosques, killing their citizens, and by the torture, sexual degradation, the scandal in military prisons. And the Western side is absolutely aghast at these grotesque beheadings that they, because of their human nature, which for many, is hard not to look at the carnage. And I'm sure that human nature is a product of the Hollywood movie programming that we've been exposed to, all manner of man's inhumanity to man on the silver screen. Oh, I know it's not real, but in your spirit, you see it anyway, and your spirit can only see the inhumanity done to man. You see, getting both sides in a conflict enraged with each other is one sure way to start a world war. Space, back with more. Flip side of this break on Talk Radio AM 640. I'm a spaceman at SAVFS, Talk Radio AM 640. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. Just like to acknowledge the information I got from AR in Arizona. I thank you so much. Appreciate your email. And the last break, before that happened, I was speaking about the degrees, 9 through 11, having this decapitation symbolism in their degrees from 9, 10, and 11. 9 through 11. The Masonic grade of 9 degrees is up to its neck in the decapitation ritual. What I mean by that is just this. To start, as I've already mentioned, the Masonic grade of the 9th degree in Memphis Misraim, in that cult, is obsessed with the decapitation ritual. This type of obsession with death is common to all degrees of black magic, satanic secret societies. The secret society to which many of our world's leaders are, in fact, members, lifelong adepts, and are as well similarly obsessed with death. How else do you think you can get the job? The secret society I speak of is the group I spoke about just last week, the Skull and Bones, for example. This main symbol is the crossed skull and bones with the number 322 in the middle. That came up with the Robin Williams suicide as he was killed on the 223rd day of the year by his own hand, a backward 322. Here's how I went deeper into that on that show. Now, here's how today's modern-day Illuminati incorporate the Memphis Misraim Arabic Freemasonry into their most important, highest secret rite. This rite is called the Palladium Rite. Just listen to this. Albert Pike, who was an American attorney, also a Confederate officer during the American Civil War, the writer also, and Freemason, and has a statue of the only Confederate officer ever to have a statue on Capitol Hill today, Albert Pike. He was elected Sovereign Grand Commander of the Scottish Rite's Southern Jurisdiction in 1859 and held the position of Sovereign Grand Commander for his whole life, which is a total of 32 years, devoted most of his time to developing the actual rituals of the order. So you know he knows all there is to know of the ancient Egyptian cult where it all started, in the order of Memphis Misraim. The images of an arm holding a dagger and another arm holding a severed head. I'm describing now this symbolism, 9 through 11 degrees of Memphis Misraim. Arm holding a dagger, short knife, another arm holding a severed head. They're the same ones that appear in Albert Pike's Masonic book called Morals and Dogmas. The main difference seems to be in the weapon, the the Memphis Misraim have an almost Shriner-like style short sword, while the Scottish Rite, clearly a dagger. But the rest is the same. When you research the subjects I found very reliable, accurate information on the meaning of the frequent decapitation severed head symbolism we've been seeing since 2002 in Masonry, as well as other esoteric outfits, like the ancient Templars, and today's Skull and Bones, and yesterday's Skull and Bones. It appears frequently, but hardly ever, rarely explained. The explanation of beheadings by Memphis Misraim and the other cults is the type of information that's very, very difficult to come across. The internet's not going to get it. I go to books mostly, not always. The best I've been able to come by is that it represents some kind of transference, this decapitation, from one person or institution, for instance, to another. A transference, a change, in other words. More on what I do know is coming up in just minutes here on ABFS, Talk Radio, AM 640. Knowing of Albert Pike's admiration for Lucifer, you shouldn't be shocked to find out that Albert Pike created this Palladium Rite, which was a secret rite that openly worshipped Lucifer and practiced blatant occultism. Remember now, I'm asking you, who do you believe is behind these decapitations? Jihadists, like the Illuminati-controlled mass media say, Memphis Misraim, or this Palladium Rite, which has connections to the ancient Memphis Misraim, mixed with Masonry. It's exactly what today's Illuminati are striving to bring back, too. Blatant occultism. This rite was to be kept secret at all costs, and only a chosen few are supposedly selected for this Palladium organization called the Palladium Rite. Research shows the Palladium Research would be an international alliance, global, of key Masons. It would bring in the Grand Lodges, the Grand Orient, the 97 degrees that are of Memphis Misraim, the ancient and primitive rite, and the Scottish rite. The name Palladium was taken from a Masonic order founded in 1720, which died out, only to reemerge again later in a place none other than Charleston, Carolina, under Albert Pike. What Albert Pike did back then was to create a super secret, very powerful Luciferian group within a group called the Palladium Rite. This rite combined the Grand Lodges, the Grand Orient, all degrees of Memphis Misraim, all 97 degrees, and the Scottish Rite too. So high-level Masonry contains the entire Arabic practice of Memphis Misraim and totally controls the separate modern-day Arabic Masonic Lodge that operates throughout the entire Middle East. Now you're asking me, how could the Illuminati possibly control these sites? I've just shown you. Because I'm asking you, posing the question, is it possible in your mind that these beheadings are, in fact, Illuminist ritual killings designed to further the war in on the push for the Third World War? the strategy to start a global war between Islam and the West. As I've already stated, these beheadings are certain to foment the anger in the West and in the East if it continues, which, mark my words, it will certainly continue. And it will bring the West to the point of being complicit, to getting behind an all-out global war. As U.S. retaliation, British retaliation is exacted, it'll cause the effect in the Arab world that is designed to do what it's supposed to do. Continually build up Muslim rage against the West. There are indeed mystical meanings assigned to this Memphis Misraim beheading symbolism. Just let me go through the occult mystical meanings behind the symbolism of the decapitated head. As I've said, the beheading symbolism is for the 9th, the 10th, and the 11th degrees. In the Memphis Misraim cult, these are supposedly the mystical symbols meant to convey spiritual truths. The symbols are represented by a dagger and a bloody head slashed from the body of a sleeping man. The man asleep symbolizes mortal sense, liberty, justice, and that a beheading must take place before a higher expression of life can arise. Spiritually interpreted, the sleeping man is mortal consciousness, which must undergo a change of intelligence, lose the head or old state of mental development before truth, the spirit of the Masonic Christ, can arise in the soul, the world. This is comparable to the Bible story of the beheading of John the Baptist. Listen to me carefully now. That beheading recorded in the Bible represents the passing over to a higher plane of expression of the intelligence and love gained in the lower self. More on this when I return. Right after this break on Talk Radio AM 640, I'm Space. It's AVFS. That's all it is. I'm a guy to call Space Talk Radio AM 640. You can email me, spaceman@640toronto.com or space640toronto.com. CC writes, the beheading tradition, a lot older than Islam, yet it's reappearing as the penalty for the disobedience of the Noahide laws. He sends me a pic of Kali and the Noahide laws. Now, you, of course, know Kali is the head deity in the Indian religion who has many arms and fights battles, gets very enraged, but can be very loving and giving. And, of course, this picture is of Kali severing the head from one of her victims. It's quite cold-hearted, actually. And SJ from Britain, I will bow to your wishes and not read the information that you've provided me in this email for my own personal information. And I will do just that, but I would like to say that I have received it, and I thank you very much for that shocking expose. Now, the symbolism actually means to the Illuminati of today, at this point in time, that the sleeping man, whose head was severed, that I talked about just before the break, represents the old world order order of things as they now stand. Today's system of separate countries with borders, different legal systems, different central banks. There's the communist system, the capitalist system, the socialist system, all operating now at odds with one another. And as I've repeatedly said, the Illuminati hates this industrial civilization and fully intends to bring it crashing down, to be replaced by an agrarian civilization like that which existed in Europe, say, 300 to 400 years ago. The spirit of the Masonic Christ is obviously the occult Gnostic Christ conscious spirit, so commonly identified with the coming Antichrist. When this sleeping man, the world, dies, his death is viewed by the occultist as good, benevolent, necessary, so that the New World Order can be brought into existence and become a reality on the physical plane. I've often said to you that the Illuminati's purpose of invading Iraq in the first place was to establish the West's military bases, and then, once they gained a place, a foothold, a presence there, they would then trigger the all-out regional war that would then, in turn, chain reaction, trigger the global war. All of that on top of the pre-planned and allowed to happen terror attacks that would take the battle right into the West's countries in order to crash the old world order. Just as the King James Version of the Bible foretold that the final birth pangs, sorrows, that will finally give birth to the Antichrist will be wars and rumors of war. So the Illuminati looks upon the staging of their Christ as a birth through war. The war in Iraq was to trigger World War III, the final birth pangs of the New World Order coming into existence. I've also stated many times on AVFS, talk radio, AM 640, that the Illuminati are going to follow the King James Version of the Bible to the very letter. I think you'll have to agree with me when I say that this Western civilization you and I are part of is indeed a sleeping man today. Our citizens all throughout the Western countries are all really, truly asleep spiritually and politically. Never in world history have there been so few leaders being able to completely deceive so many citizens. When the war finally begins, and the citizens of all democratic countries begin to lose their cherished freedoms and rights, and again, mark my words, the head of the sleeping man will roll. From what I've been able to discern, the sleeping man, being beheaded symbolism, is supposed to represent the old world, while the beheader, the executioner, is the new world order that's to come. In Masonry, I spoke about it before, John the Baptist, who was himself beheaded, is used as a typical example of this. The beheading of John the Baptist in the Bible represents as a passing over to a higher plane of existence that Christ supposedly represented as, in theory, the old world order would transform into the new world order. In ancient times, it was ritually customary to slay a wizard by beheading as well. this type of separating the carnal body, the physical being, from the spiritual part of the man, his head, his thoughts, this would accomplish two things, according to a satanic ritual. First, undo the wizard's workings of the past, and second, it would pass his powers onto the beheader. A morbid ritual of, say, well, we see it all the time, being ceremonially executed, passing the torch. We still yet use that even today and revere it mightily. So if you take that decapitation ritual to be a symbol of the coming New World Order, you definitely discern the intended message that the beheadings that we've witnessed in the past few years, the Illuminati is sending on behalf of their masters to the U.S. and to the rest of the world population. Jodorowsky's movie, Holy Mountain, ever seen it? It's a 1973 Mexican-American flick directed by Alejandro Jodorowsky. And the film is based on one called Ascent by Mount Carmel by St. John of the Cross, and Mount Analog by René Dumas, who was a student of George Gurdjieff's. Now, George Gurdjieff is one occult adept. In this flick, a lot of Jodorowsky's visually psychedelic story follows the metaphysical thrust of Mount Analog. This is revealed in such events as the climb to the alchemist, the assembly of individuals with specific skills, the discovery of the mountain that unites heaven and earth that cannot not exist, and the symbolic challenge along with the mountain ascent. This is something the Illuminati believe wholeheartedly in. Dumas died, by the way, before finishing his allegorical novel, and Jodorowsky's improvised ending in his flick actually provided a way of completing that work that Dumas never did finish, both symbolically and otherwise. His preparation for his movie, Jodorowsky's, was totally revealing of what, say, Hollywood actors are put through every time they get work. Before the main shooting would commence in this movie, Holy Mountain, by Jodorowsky, Jodorowsky, the director, and his wife, under the direction of a Japanese Zen master, spent an entire week without sleep. Jodorowsky was also instructed by Ikazo to take acid for the purpose of spiritual exploration. He also administered psilocybin mushrooms to his actors during the shooting of the death rebirth scene. The main members of this cast were also told to spend 3 months, that's 3 months, doing various spiritual exercises guided by Ikazo of the Arica Institute. The Arica training features Zen, Sufi, yoga exercises, along with eclectic concepts taken from the Kabbalah, the I Ching, and the teachings of one George Gurdjieff. I'm Space, back on the other side of the break with more on this movie, The Holy Mountain, by Alejandro Jodorowsky, on Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm a guy to call Space. It's View from Space, Talk Radio, AM 640. Thank you so much for the emails that you sent. I really appreciate it. I can't thank you enough for the information I've received tonight, some of which I've been asked not to give you, which is very powerful, would help the show, however. I will do the bidding of the emailer that did pass me that information along, and I thank you again from the UK who sent that. Before the break, I was talking about this movie called Holy Mountain by Alejandro Jodorowsky. It's a 1973 Mexican-American flick directed by Alejandro Jodorowsky, who actually also plays a part in the flick himself. It's a visually psychedelic story that follows the metaphysical thrust of Mount Analog. It was a book that was unfinished, written by Dumas. And Jodorowsky seems to have improvised an ending, actually provides a way of completing that work Dumas never could complete in his lifetime, both symbolically and in other ways. And I told you before the break about Jodorowsky's preparation for this movie, about discovering the mountain that unites heaven and earth, the mountain that cannot not exist, and the symbolic challenges along the ascent of that mountain. Something, as I stated before the break, that the Illuminati are very, very, very ritually involved in. Climbing up this mountain. First discovering the mountain, where it is, and how to climb it. Climb to heaven. You know what it basically is? It's just man learning the knowledge. With enough of it, you become a god yourself. Would you agree with me? A leader of a country plays God over his people because he pretty much dictates how their life will go? Is that not correct? See what I mean by the information of the power that the person can garner? Well, there is one where you can climb to the peak, the pinnacle of power here on this earth, and be the reason that everything happens. So before the main shooting of that flick, Holy Mountain, even started, as I said before the break, the director, Jodorowsky, and his wife, under a Japanese Zen master, spent an entire week without sleep, took acid for spiritual exploration, had psilocybin mushrooms delivered to his, and forced to his actors, bit part players, forced to take it during the shooting of the death rebirth scene. The main members of the cast also told to spend 3 months doing various spiritual exercises guided by someone from the Erica Institute. Erica training takes philosophy from Zen, Sufi, and yoga exercises, along with eclectic concepts taken from the Kabbalah, the I Ching, and the teachings of one George Gurdjieff. Now, after the training, the group lived for a month communally in Jodorowsky's home for before production. After that, the film started shooting in earnest in the spring of 1972. The film was shot relating to and entirely in Mexico. It only cost $750,000. The film was produced by Beatles manager Alan Klein of Abco Music, then and Records, after Jodorowsky caught the Beatles' attention with his movie El Topo. I've seen that one. Both John Lennon and George Harrison absolutely loved it. As a matter of fact, John Lennon and Yoko Ono put up production money for El Topo. El Topo was the American-Mexican Western film characterized by its bizarre characters and occurrences, with also his use of maimed and dwarf performers and heavy doses of Christian symbolism and Eastern philosophy mixed in. The film's about the hero of the film, who was a violent gunfighter, all dressed in black in his quest for enlightenment. This movie was shown at a whole bunch of international film festivals in 1973, including Cannes. Limited screenings in New York and San Francisco. And this flick is absolutely chock full of esoteric symbolism. In fact, I doubt anyone not familiar with the symbolism that's in El Topo would even be able to understand it. Anyway, back to Alejandro Jodorowsky's flick. The director, Jodorowsky, plays a guru. And this flick is absolutely chock full, as I said, of esoteric symbolism. In fact, I doubt if you would believe me, but wait for it. At the end of the flick, toward the end, it features a decapitation. The guru is played by the director himself, informing his disciples that they have learned all that he has to teach, and that they are now masters. He then asks one of his pupils to behead him with a Shriner-style sword as a kind of passing of the torch to his former pupils. Remember, I told you, Memphis Mitzrayim in the cult, degrees 9 through 11. Are the decapitation of a person. Taken from the ancient time when the wizards, the ones who knew the knowledge of magic, would teach their adept all there was that they could teach, and then have the pupil decapitate the old wizard, and the new one take his place with the knowledge and walk in his steps. And when he got to the point where he had taught his adepts all there was, then he too would endure the same fate. The ritual would continue through centuries. Yes, know that James Foley beheading also invokes the Beatles, didn't it? They are supposedly the British homegrown terrorists that joined the jihad movement in the Middle East. Yes, the threat once again released, this time in England, not so much in America, as the home incubation bed for the terrorists living amongst us here in the West. They could even be your neighbor. Be afraid, be very afraid. And that's the way America lived after 9/11 for a time. Now, the UK is enduring this. To show the importance, Prime Minister David Cameron comes back from his vacation to deal with this, because the executioner and the James Foley beheading, the American, has a British accent. Well, couldn't you just see a plant there? Even an overdub. You can't see the person's lip moving. You don't even have to lip sync it. You can put whatever accent you want on. This one was chosen to be the UK. To spread this Illuminati propaganda threat that have invoked the most famous of all the Brits to connect this threat with Britain itself, the Beatles. Yes, purportedly the executioner in the James Foley beheading is known as John. And there are two others from the British supplied cell of jihadists nicknamed Paul and Ringo. Altogether, they're known as the Black Beatles. Back with more. Other side of the break, it's Talk Radio, AM 640, I'm Space. That's me. I'm the guy that calls Space. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. OZ writes, talking about starting world wars and symbolism. World War I started with the 1914 assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria. The killer, Gavrilo Princip, was supplied with the weapon by an organization called the Black Hand. And he sends me a link on the Black Hand symbolism. It's a skull, and he writes, sounds familiar. So, before the break, I was talking about the Alejandro Jodorowsky flick that really captured the imagination of the Beatles. And the film was actually produced by their manager, Alan Klein, who also owned Abco Music and Records. Now, George Harrison, John Lennon, both absolutely loved the movie. And the Beatles are invoked in this latest Jim Foley decapitation, purported to be three Beatles, three Brits, that joined the jihadists and are nicknamed John, Paul, and Ringo. And together they're known as the Black Beatles, as in the Dark Knight Rising. The Dark Side. And there's this. The Beatles are actually named after the Egyptian scarab beetle, a beetle that was worshipped since ancient times in Egypt, where the Memphis Mithraim cult was actually first founded, and where Freemasonry, of course, as seen in their symbol, comes from. St. John the Baptist is the patron saint of Freemasonry. I told you about Jay-Z and the St. John cult a few shows ago. John the Baptist's head is supposedly contained in the Damascus Shrine in Syria. And he was a precursor, or someone that came after Osiris. So St. John the Baptist was, well, prefigured by Osiris, whose severed head rests in Memphis, they say, the city of the Egyptian kings. So you see, this idea of public beheadings isn't new. Another example of ancient biblical beheadings is Goliath. According to scripture in the Old Testament, Goliath was brought to the ground with a single slingshot hit. Then David proceeds to separate Goliath's head from his body. The original purpose of that story was, of course, to show David's identity as the true king of Israel. Jewish traditions stressed Goliath's status as the representative of paganism, the exact opposite to David, the champion of the God of Israel. Christian tradition later rejigs the story and gives it a distinctively Christian perspective now, seeing in David's battle with Goliath the victory of God's king over the enemies of God's helpless people, as a prefiguring of Jesus' victory over sin on the cross and the church's victory over Satan. So you see what I mean when I say that this beheading ritual is, in fact, the transition, the symbolism of one way of life on earth to another. In the story of David and Goliath, the world changed from paganism to Christianity. How obvious can it be made for you? The sleeping man being beheaded symbolism is supposed to represent the old world order, while the beheader, the executioner, is the coming new world order. So believe me when I say the Illuminati do nothing new. It's simply history repeating itself and a new way of life. The new world order is on its way. I've often talked about the number 42. Osiris, the first Egyptian sun king, sun god. And yes, I know the Beatles did a song called Sun King, Here Comes the Sun King. But 42 months of increasing power, Satan will finally possess this world king that's on his way. 42. There are 42 tests, questions you have to pass and answer correctly to be in, so that Osiris, the gatekeeper of the next world, will allow you in. If you cannot pass the 42, you're doomed to death, Hades, forever. Daniel 11:23-28, 16:30, 17:41-32, Revelations 12, chapter 11, verses 1 through 3. Revelation again in 12:13, 14, and 17. Daniel 12, verse 1. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. And both these kings' hearts shall be filled with mischief, and they shall speak lies at one table. But it shall not prosper. Then shall he, the Antichrist, return to his land with great riches, and his heart shall be secretly against the holy covenant, which is Israel. And he shall do great exploits and return to his own land. But he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will. For the ships of Chittim shall come against him. Therefore he shall be grieved and return to Israel and have indignation against the holy covenant. And none shall stand before him and live. And he shall stand in the glorious land, meaning Israel, which by his hand shall be consumed. He shall set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom, and upright ones with him. That's what he will do. He will enter into the glorious land, and many shall be overthrown. Armies shall stand on its part, and they shall pollute the sanctuary, meaning this new third temple that has not yet been built, and shall take away the daily sacrifice, and they shall, in his stead, in its place, the abomination that maketh desolate, the Antichrist, on the throne inside this new third temple of Solomon built. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great anger and wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time left. That's King James Version of the Bible. Chittim mentioned, or Kittim, the plural form is mentioned in Genesis chapter 10, verse 4. It's the name of a branch of descendants of Javan, the son of Japheth, the Russians. Balaam foretold that ships shall come from the coast of Chittim and afflict Eber. That is stated in the Old Testament in the King James Version of the Bible, Numbers chapter 24, verse 24. Daniel prophesied in Daniel 11, verse 30, that the ships of Chittim would come against the king of the north. It probably means Cyprus, whose ancient capital was called Kittim by the Greeks. Other mentions of Chittim in the King James Version of the Bible are Isaiah 23, verse 1 through 12, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 10, and Ezekiel chapter 27, verse 6, are to be explained on the grounds that while the name originally designated the Phoenicians only, it later became known to designate all the islands and other settlements on the sea coasts which they had occupied, and then of the people who succeeded them when the Phoenician power in that area ended. So it now means the islands and coasts of the Mediterranean, really, and the races that inhabit them. The King James Version of the Bible goes on to state that, "And the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. Yet the court which is without the temple leave out. Don't measure it, for it's given unto the Gentiles," meaning the Antichrist's European army. "And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give the power unto my two witnesses, Moses and Elijah," or Enoch, "and they shall prophesy 1,260 days. That's exactly 42 months, clothed in sackcloth. And when the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, or Enoch, when they finished their testimony at the end of the 42 months, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome, and kill them. He will destroy supernaturally and shall prosper, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people," meaning the Jews. In the King James Version of the Bible, "and when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, Christ, and to the woman," Jewish Christians, "were given two wings and a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, protected 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed around the world, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And at that time, Michael the archangel shall stand up, the great prince which strandeth for the children of thy people, Jews and Israel, and there shall be a time of tribulation such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and that a time thy people, the Jews, shall be delivered, every one that shall be found in the book of life will see their God." More on this when I return on the other side of the break. It's Talk Radio AM 640. I'm the Spaceman. Thank you so much for the emails I've received tonight. Incredible. I'm very impressed with the emailers tonight. I thank you so much for what you've done. I communicate really only one way, and that is through the email. Two locations, spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. So some of the scriptures that I passed on to you to give you a background for where this comes from, Revelation and Daniel and the other passages that I pointed out all describe the Antichrist moving into Israel. As you know, that war in Gaza has started again. There's one in Syria that has been going on. There's the one in Iraq. There's the one in Ukraine. You see my meaning. Now, all this taken together and knowing the context of the year 2015, next year, which I believe has a very important time in the overall satanic plan, all of that means, all that seems also to be even more evidence pointing to possibly Prince William having been completely possessed by the satanic entity by the year 2015. Now he has dropped out of sight totally and completely, and his wife, Kate, is now doing the duties. For instance, she's going to Malta in her next junket without Prince William. Where is he? And what are they teaching him? The Druids, is my question. By 2015, you see, which I find so intriguing, that's why I say the context of that year and the overall satanic plan is quite, well, astounding. Because Prince William will be 33 years old on that year 2015. What's more, it's entirely possible that the satanic possession which overcomes the Antichrist, stated in the King James Version of the Bible, will be much more dramatic than most think, as it may coincide with an assassination attempt made against King William V, or whoever he calls himself when he does become king, somewhere very near the midpoint of his reign. I'm thinking anywhere from now, really, till 2018. If William does become king and carries out the signing of the covenant of peace between Israel and the rest of the world, then this would mean the seven-year tribulation would begin, which the King James Version of the Bible states only ends at the return of Christ 7 years later. In other words, the seven-year duration of that false peace treaty that will be signed by this coming Antichrist is the same amount of time the coming Antichrist is allowed by the true God to rule, according to the King James Version of the Bible. The Bible also says that about midway through his seven-year period, just after the king leaves a round table meeting in Israel, likely discussing details of Israel's peace covenant, he returns to England, having great riches and evil in his heart, when suddenly he is attacked by the ships of Chittim, after which he sends in his entire European army, which I believe to be what we know today as the International Security Assistance Force, or the acronym ISAF. It's the NATO-led so-called security mission that went to Afghanistan. It's NATO, established by the United Nations Security Council, December 20th, 2001, by Resolution 1386, to conquer Israel and trodden on its temple for the next 42 months, reminiscent of the way the Roman armies under Titus took both the city and that sanctuary, as prophesied in Daniel 9, verse 27. With this future event being the final and literal fulfillment, even though the Bible does not outright say it, I believe there must be a connection made from this attack by these mysterious ships from Chittim on the coming Antichrist and his immediate counterattack with the International Security Assistance Force, now deployed around the world's trouble spots, which I believe has been placed in Afghanistan, Iraq, who knows where else next, maybe Syria, which is in very close proximity to Israel for this very reason. It's to be used to conquer Israel. As if fueled by pure revenge, leaving one conclusion. The ships of Chittim must be of Jewish origin, possibly the Orthodox Jews who will not accept this Christ, this deal maker, and the deal that he has struck. Researching this verse in Hebrew, you find that the ships of Chittim are launched from Cyprus, or just off the coast of Israel somewhere. So it's quite possible that these mysterious ships from Chittim be some kind of Jewish resistance movement against this false Messiah, they believe, whom they've learned is possibly the Antichrist. Taking this even further, and knowing that the Antichrist is attacked, might it be that he also will be assassinated? Well, that's what the King James Version of the Bible states. Revelation 13, verse 3, prophesies that at some point in the Antichrist's reign, he is assassinated and seemingly dies from a mortal head wound, which brings about an Illuminati event that defies belief. It so dwarfs all other past earth-shaking events, an event so absolutely astounding that it stuns the entire world. The numerology, by the way, in this particular Revelation scripture, 13:3, forms a 7 for spirituality. In numerology. Then, precisely 40 hours after his supposed death, this absolutely astounding event happens and stuns the entire world. He suddenly comes back to life and arises with great supernatural power, completely mimicking the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, just as Jesus was only dead for 40 hours and resurrected, then ascends to heaven, so it will be copied with the satanic Antichrist. All of this will take place after the Antichrist becomes completely possessed by the spirit of Satan. He will then be resurrected and rise up to attack Zion, Jerusalem, Israel. Since Jesus Christ was crucified 3.5 years ago into his reign as Israel's unrecognized king, the Antichrist, as Israel's now recognized king, will be assassinated precisely 3.5 years into his reign. The time frame of 3.5 years is very important, and it produces the final clue that his mock death and resurrection happens just before the midway point of the tribulation begins. The King James Version of the Bible explicitly points out the number of days this coming Antichrist will reign as Israel's false Messiah. It's to be 7 years in the Jewish calendar, which works out to be 1,260 days to the midpoint, then another 1,290 days must pass until the final battle of the ages. By the way, 1,260 days to the midpoint breaks down to a 9 in numerology. Satan's favorite number. The Battle of the Ages, Armageddon. We'll be honest. I'll be talking about that when I return on the other side of the break on Talk Radio. AM 640, this is AVFS. I'm Space. I'm a spaceman. It's a view from space. This is Talk Radio, AM 640. Thank you for your emails tonight. Spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. I'm skimming the numbers here of the King James Version of the Bible, explicitly pointing out the length of the tribulation when it begins. And the number of days the coming Antichrist will reign as Israel's false Messiah. It's to be 7 years in the Jewish calendar, which works out to about 1,260 days to the midpoint. That's a 9 in numerology, Satan's favorite number, that egotistical number that loves itself so much it keeps on returning to itself. Then another 1,290 days have to pass until the final battle of the ages, the battle of the of Armageddon. And that breaks down to a 12, that 1,290 days passing until the final battle, the royal number, 3. So, all told, it's 2,550 days total. Another royal number, 12. In numerology, which is slightly a little less than 7 years in the Gregorian calendar, because you see the Jewish months have only 30 days each. Since the Bible also predicts that the Antichrist suddenly turns against Israel at the midway point of the tribulation, it's entirely possible that the Antichrist is killed by the ships of Chittim, and is then completely possessed by Satan and is quickened back from certain death. Knowing the full murderous strength of this satanic power, you can easily see what the next step after coming back from the dead would be. He would immediately set about to conquer Israel and kill every single last Jew and new Christian believer. Notice that the King James Version of the Bible even makes known that these ships of Chittim are renegades, not fulfilling the will of any state policy, any other country. They're renegades. You know, today's leadership of Israel, because as I've said many times on AVFS, Talk Radio, AM 640, the leadership of Israel is Masonic, but the Jewish people are not. They are not to blame. The leadership is. These so-called renegades are carrying out their own will against the Antichrist beast, meaning they are not ordered by the state of Israel at all, but are carrying out their own plans for killing the Antichrist. The Antichrist breaks the 7-year covenant with Israel, and he ferociously attacks the Jewish state for 1,260 days from the time he signs the covenant of peace. So, in my opinion only, the Antichrist won't be completely possessed by Satan until the 1,260th day from the time he signs that peace deal, that covenant with the state of Israel. What was a great man of peace, world humanitarian, and enabler of global prosperity before this attack and failed assassination attempt on his person, will suddenly see a resurrected Antichrist to live up to his true legacy, which is a bringer of death, destruction, and global chaos. Most believe that since he is called the Antichrist, that he'll do everything to mirror Jesus Christ with healings, with miracles, while others think that the Antichrist will be the counterfeit or exact opposite of Christ, causing wars, destruction worldwide, beginning in Israel, and I believe both are right. Because the Antichrist, I believe, will be both. At first, he'll be the good man of peace, the world humanitarian, an enabler of global prosperity before the attack. Then, the evil one, the bringer of death, destruction, and global chaos, will come out. Simply put, in the first half of the Antichrist's reign, before he is attacked, supposedly assassinated, he will actually bring a great peace, prosperity, to things for a while, fulfilling all the biblical scriptures which state exactly that about him. But once he is attacked by the yet-to-be-determined who they are, ships of Chittim, which I believe, again, as I've already stated, are Jewish renegades, but I could be mistaken. They could be another nationality. You see, on this, no one can be sure. But the one thing that is for sure is that after the Antichrist is suddenly, should I say, born again, he will be possessed by Satan, having a renewed spirit of revenge and murderous violence that is the exact opposite of his former self. Here's the Masonic rebirth ritual at the lodge. You're placed in a coffin, the old self. The ceremony has... You rise up out of that coffin. You're then given a new name and rise out of that box as the new enlightened being. The old self dies and the new goes on and lives. Knowing that a person can only rise through ascension in Scottish Rite Freemasonry by attaining the 33rd degree and becoming the what's called sublime prince of the royal secret, it's very intriguing when you realize that deeply embedded in the predictive programming of the Masonic-inspired flick called The Matrix, the movie, the Antichrist archetype in that movie, called Neo, never realizes his own destiny and fate until at the end of the movie, as he enters a room with the number 303 on it, to represent the 33rd degree, of course, take out zero. Is shot to death, assassinated, killed, and imbued with great supernatural power then, as he resurrects to immediately destroy his enemies. That's in the movie Matrix. In other words, before his assassination attempt, the coming Antichrist will not actually have been possessed by Satan, yet it's this single event of his death or near death that brings Satan into his body to possess him completely for the next 3.5 years. The global mourning of this assassination over his impending death during this time will be unprecedented, as the world will watch and wait to hear of his condition. Naturally, at that time, people will make a connection to the great outpouring of the grief at hearing the news of Prince Diana's own death, if you recall, as well as drawing comparisons with the assassination of President John F. Kennedy, who was known as the former Camelot King in America. He also died from a head wound, just like the first Camelot King, Arthur. All these events were predictive programming, you know, for this event. According to most historical records of King Arthur, he did actually die from a mortal head wound, having his skull crushed and broken in the Battle of Camlann between 516 and 550 AD. Since the prophecy from Revelation about a king rising up from a mortal head wound is somewhat well known, some believe that President Kennedy was the Antichrist before, yet especially after he was assassinated, even expecting to see that he would somehow recover from that mortal head wound. They certainly believe JFK was charismatic enough to be the world's most beloved and adored leader. A definite attribute of the beast to come, to the point that his charismatic reign even took on Arthurian overtones when he was seen as the new King Arthur by the media. Presiding over a new age of Camelot in America was John F. Kennedy. They went to the moon. They were militarily the most powerful nation in the world, the richest nation. And yet he wasn't that new Arthur, the one who rises up out of Albion of Merovingian descent, whose coming is prepared years later. The one is to renew the world along Masonic lines. Back with more after this break. It's the Spaceman. This is AVFS. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm the guy they call Space. It's a View from Space, Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. Before the break, I was talking about JFK and the assassination. A lot of people thought he was actually going to survive that mortal head wound. Many believed that he was charismatic enough to be the world's most beloved and adored leader, which is a definite attribute of the beast that's to come. And some people actually believe that that was why JFK was actually assassinated, which to forcibly remove his charismatic persona in what would have been a bright and famed ruler and possibly to rule the world. I don't believe that at all. I believe there have been many, many Antichrists through the centuries. It's as if they were all merely dress rehearsals, brainwashing the masses throughout the centuries for the one they call the one that is to come. Or as I've remarked many times on AVFS, Talk Radio, AM 640, there's nothing new under the sun. History is simply repeating itself. After all, the best form of brainwashing is to repeat over and over and over and over. When the one, the final Antichrist suddenly arises from his mortal head wound, after only 40 hours, the King James Version of the Bible predicts that the entire world will become elated and marvel and worship him all the more. Yet what they don't know, and what the King James Version of the Bible brings very clear, is that they are worshiping none other than the red dragon, Satan himself, that spirit within the Antichrist, which has given him such great power. To the world's eyes, though, it'll seem the coming Antichrist has been miraculously saved as they rally behind him and his decision to handle the assassination crisis. His blind followers will say, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Israel's revamped military will be nothing to the great power she once wielded before the tribulation, before the arrival of the Antichrist. So by the time the Antichrist confirms the peace covenant with Israel at the beginning of his 7-year reign, he casts a spell on Israel and all the other nuclear superpower nations to render useless or to destroy their nuclear war capability, as well as the size of their armies. The coming Antichrist is going to do this early on under the banner of global peace. But Israel and all other nuclear nations will actually be removed from their nuclear defense capability. This will be so strategic that the Antichrist will be able to wield all the power during the Great Tribulation period, when he is completely possessed by the evil one Satan, which will make it difficult for any one nation to later come against and attack him as he seizes global power and achieves total rule over mankind. The world will then allow one man to rule, completely disregarding every prophet, prophecy, and the true God himself. History has shown over and over that the absolute power corrupts absolutely. Yet what controls this one holding all the power is something much, much more than mere human greed or any other human desire. Because this particular power desires only wanton death and destruction of the human race. Remember, I've said many times that Antichrist spirit that is in these possessed, these disillusioned, these drugged patsies that are used in these heinous acts are, in fact, doing it for no particular reason at all. Just like the Batman series. Everybody always looking for a reason why this atrocity was committed. There's no reason. The reason is to do it because you can. To destroy the wanton destruction and death. It's always been Satan who's been working through the Antichrist spirit, which has invaded many spiritual offices, serving man's carnal needs in world history. Yet it will be Satan's final assault on man and the true God, which seeks its total annihilation, deceiving all those who would leave themselves open to his black magic spells, manipulating every event to achieve his aims. 42 months into the reign of the Antichrist, Satan will have so completely possessed the man who becomes the Antichrist that any former trace of that former man will have been completely erased by that point, and he will not, I repeat, will not be in control of either his mind nor his body at that time. The King James Version of the Bible states that the Antichrist will have a fierce countenance, which again tells you that this, his mind and body, will have been totally taken over, possessed by the insanity that is satanic, an ancient evil so far removed from the understanding of modern man that we can't even begin to contemplate. The Antichrist will be sitting in the temple of God as God himself. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 goes like this. The son of perdition, who stands against God, will sit in the temple of God, claiming that he is God. Once the Antichrist orders his European armies to attack Jerusalem, and destroys any surviving military force that stands to protect Jerusalem, Satan's power will then be at its absolute height, having accomplished all of his ancient desires through his begotten Son, who brings the entire world back to him once more. Satan, as the Antichrist, then mockingly rides into the city upon a white horse, making his way toward the eastern gate. Why a horse? And why white? Why, Jesus rode an ass, a donkey, which was a humble beast of burden. But the horse, proud, large, used in war as a weapon. White, purity, godliness. That's why a horse, pride. Space, back with more. Other side of this break. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. I think you'd have to agree these are extreme times. Spaceman, Talk Radio, AM 640. It's a view from space. Emails to spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. I just told you why a horse and why a white horse will be used to ride into Jerusalem after destroying any surviving military forces that stand to protect Jerusalem and Israel. The satanic power in the Antichrist will be at its absolute height at this point, meaning he has accomplished all of his ancient desires through this begotten Son who he has entered. And Satan, as the Antichrist, will then mockingly ride into the city upon a white horse, making his way toward the eastern gate, kills the two witnesses who protect the inner temple, and makes his way through to the inner sanctum, leading to the Holy of Holies, enters the hallowed sanctuary, and commits the ultimate blasphemy by seating himself on a throne and announcing to all the world that he is God in the flesh. With that, the most ancient satanic plan, what's known as the Great Work, of the occult will have finally been accomplished. Completed. Did you hear me clearly? He then mockingly rides into Jerusalem upon a white horse, making his way toward the eastern gate. As the Antichrist enters the third rebuilt temple in Jerusalem, which in pre-ancient times was called Mount Zion, the sides of the north, which was then ascended above the heights of the clouds, having just crushed both man and his angelic forces alike, he places himself above all and claims to be God himself, the great I Am, and therefore believes he has achieved every one of his five I wills, which he uttered at the time before his fall from heaven. Do you recall the five I wills of Satan? Do you even know what the five I wills of Satan are? Number one was to ascend to heaven. Number two was to exalt his throne above the stars of God. Number three is to sit on the mount of the congregation. Number four was to ascend the height of the clouds. And number five, be like the Most High God. Therefore, Lucifer now, as the evil incarnate human king seated in the temple as the Christ-like king above the angels, claims to be God, the I Am, seemingly fulfilling all five of those ancient I wills I had just told you about, which he had exultantly proclaimed, but has he also revealed himself using his five I wills in the very language of the Antichrist, which is English. Has the Antichrist himself been revealed to an English an anagram form for King Will? I am the fifth. As I've mentioned before on ABFS, Talk Radio AM 640, should Prince William become king and chose the name William, he would be called King William the Fifth. Notice carefully, by taking the W in William as being two V's, splitting the W to make two V's, then with the first three letters after you split the W into two V's, the I and the L's, as Roman numerals for one, they form an incredible, intriguing anagram for this once and future king. It would be I am V1, V1, V1. I am 6, 6, 6. This has already been placed into the subconscious of the youth by William James Adams Jr., the American rapper, songwriter, singer, actor, and producer, better known by his stage name, Will.i.am. So it's already out there, heralded by Hollywood. The Antichrist will, of course, have all the knowledge of Gothic magic, which is the art of summoning powerful demons who cause a wide variety of chaos and mayhem, ranging from, well, from plagues, diseases, to afflicting the planet with every sort of natural disaster on a grand scale, of which will have never been experienced or even imagined by modern man. Gothic magic, used by some of the most wickedest magicians, by the way, throughout history, were able to use this arcane black art to conjure up some of the most ruthless entities of the spirit world in order to maim or kill their enemies, or used to gather information that was unknowable by man, like, for instance, the very detailed accounts of the fall of Lucifer, even the location of buried treasures, Gotia, which is from Middle Latin, from the Greek word gotia, meaning sorcery, refers to a practice which includes the invocation of angels or the evocation of demons. These are taken from 17th century grimoire, The Lesser Key of Solomon. It contains scriptures of the evocation of 72 demons, famously edited by Aleister Crowley in the early 1900s in his book, The Book of Gotia, of Solomon the King. The Anunnaki, seen by the ancients as powerful, glowing god kings, were supposedly once the true gods' holy watchers, whose task it was to look after the dealings of mankind in the ancient world. Genesis chapter 6 in the book of Enoch actually states that while performing that task, they fell in lust with the daughters of man and took them as wives, the same who later sired a race of hybrid giants known as the Nephilim, being half men, half gods. This says a lot about who and what these 10 kings mentioned in Revelation will be, as well as of their appearance when compared to the evil-possessed Antichrist, whose only other biblical description by Daniel is that he has a fierce countenance. It's Matthew 24, verse 37, which states that as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Christ be. Noah's days were an extremely wicked age, described at a time with fallen angels having sex with and impregnating mortal women. And matches Revelation, where those who worship the future beast also worship demon gods in the same way as the ancients did. Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21 state, "Men shall not repent of their demon worship, neither repent they of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications." Put all this together and you get a frightening, grim picture of those who live in this coming beast's kingdom with their murders. Human sacrifices is what's meant there. Their sorcery and their sexual escapades with demons. Under 7 years of rule under the Antichrist, mankind sinks to a level of satanic depravity not seen since the days of Noah, even Sodom and Gomorrah. So the 10 kings ruling with the beast are likely 10 men who are similarly possessed by the alien, overseeing the affairs throughout the 10 regions of this future global empire. The prophecy of Daniel 11, verse 39, tells of this. Yes. I wonder, this prophecy, Daniel 11:39, tells us of this coming beast that arises from the sea by saying, "He, the Antichrist, shall cause them, the 10 kings, to rule over many, dividing the land for gain." The very fact that this true future global kingdom is going to be ruled by one king, yet divided into 10, each controlled by a lesser king, is quite intriguing. As a matter of fact, if you research the kingdom of Atlantis, you see this coming global empire is set up exactly the same way. Atlantis, which had 10 districts ruled by 10 kings, while under the banner of one grand king. The Illuminati are intent upon bringing back the golden age of Atlantis as it was. Maybe you have a better understanding now of what's meant when you hear all the special code names of the United States Space Shuttle fleet that was specifically designed to assemble the International Space Station, as it plays an integral role in the rising of the Antichrist. A Columbian enterprise to endeavor for the discovery of Atlantis, and all challengers shall be destroyed. Those were all the names of the shuttles. The U.S. shuttle program, and now the International Space Station, is finished. That control platform in the sky. Events right now, even this minute, are underway, are the setting stage for this Armageddon that I've been talking about. The King James Version of the Bible says that at the end of the 7 years into the reign of the Antichrist, both Russia and China will come to try and usurp this powerful new king and put their own king on the throne. And this apocalyptic prophecy of their wartime alliance will have then finally been fulfilled. It's been reported that a future Russia and China may, if necessary, unite their armies into one conglomerate strike force that would place their bloodline descendant onto the throne of the world themselves. Back with more on the other side of the break. It's the Spaceman. This is Talk Radio, AM 640. The guy that calls space, it's View from Space, Talk Radio, AM 640, emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. I just, let me call this person C. I'm just going to paraphrase because it's rather long to read. Stumbled on the radio station while out late one Saturday night, listening to some guy quote the Bible and talking about the Illuminati and Satan. They thought I was I don't know, a preacher, kept listening, wants to learn more about the Dan Brown novels now. Doesn't know very much about Freemasonry, goes on to say, or she, not sure. And wants to find out if they really want to know what I'm talking about. If they really want to know. Just live the life of the carefree. Stick your head in the sand and ignore what's going on. Kind of lifestyle. I say it's too late for that. It's happening around us. You're involved. Email goes on to talk about the charismatic JFK, the drug addict, sex addict. Don't get why he was assassinated. But enjoys the show and wonders where Prince William is and why Kate is traveling solo to Malta very soon, in their next junket. So thanks for that, see? As I was saying before the break, future Russia, future China, may, if necessary, unite those armies into one huge strike force that could give the Antichrist a run for its money. Today, China, more than any other emerging superpower, is bolstering up the number of their troops, as well as possessing the latest in technological warfare, by the way. This has been done through espionage spying and the stealing of Anglo-US military technologies. That's been going on since the Cold War era ended. It's believed that China is now spending over $100 billion per year on the military, as well as making many what could say only be determined as hostile actions toward the West, specifically towards the United States. They just buzzed one of the Poseidon aircrafts, aircraft flying in the area around China. One of their super jets buzzed the Poseidon. Poseidon aircraft is a submarine spotter. Deep sea radar aboard that craft. Anyway, Buzz, this is just the other day, and the Chinese are very disturbed at how close the United States came into their airspace. In other words, it's just the Illuminati's way of saying China and America are going to soon become enemies. And I've already stated for years now on the air, on this show, that Russia would eventually become the enemy of America again. And you've just seen that come to pass with this Ukrainian Illuminati event. Now, the book of Revelation reveals that near the end of the Antichrist's reign, these kings of the East will march toward him, toward Israel, where the Antichrist has made his global capital, with 200 million soldiers. Figures show right now the Chinese will achieve their 200 million man army by 2020, or maybe sooner. So when the Antichrist hears of an impending invasion coming from the north, from the south, and the east, who seek to attack him in unison, he knows it's over for him, even though the earth will be almost completely destroyed, and all of mankind, in his insane rage, his diabolical, sick plans of all the ages, would be about to come to fruition. He makes plans to lead these approaching invaders and the rest of the world's armies to gather in the ancient valley of Jezreel at Megiddo for the final conflict and battle. He's planned since the very beginning to revenge his fall from heaven. Jezreel, at Megiddo, the Valley of Armageddon. From the clues given in the King James Version of the Bible, stated in Zechariah 14, 16, Daniel 12, verses 11 through 12, if the Antichrist confirms the covenant, say, next year, possibly could happen, 2015, which certain indications show he might. Armageddon could actually commence 2,520 days later. 2 times 1,260 days. That would make it the summer of 2022. Just 45 days before the Jewish Feast of the Tabernacles, which falls in the months of September, October of 2022. 2,520, by the way, is a 9 in numerology. That's 1,260 times 2. 1,260 is another 9 in numerology. It's times 2, so that would make it 2 nines. Joined by the numerology of 2,520 days would make it 3 nines. And upside down, 666. The Antichrist confirms a peace covenant with many for 1 week. That would be 7 years in biblical time. Yet in the middle of the week, 1,260 days later, the Antichrist will cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease in the temple and make Jerusalem and the temple a place of utter desolation because of his transgressions. And at the time of the end, tidings out of the east, meaning China, out of the north, meaning Russia, shall trouble him, meaning the Antichrist. The Bible states he'll go forth with great fury to destroy many. This is when the Bible states that the true God will enter the battle for the ages. The King James Version of the Bible states, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, likely referring to the first war in heaven. And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split. The Age of Aquarius, a time that is believed by those within the New Age movement that will herald a time of peace, love, and universal brotherhood. Well, this word has come to signify spiritual, occult, and metaphysical teachings and practices, as well as the mainstream acceptance. The Age of Aquarius. The three writers of the Priory of Sion book, Bajan, Lee, and Lincoln, suggest that the Priory of Sion is seeking to capture or exploit the emotional response surrounding the very concept of a living descendant of Jesus Christ. In other words, it is essentially a cult response that's being orchestrated. And followers are swept along by their instinctive feelings. Logic, reason, have no play in it whatsoever. Presumably, it's only a matter of time before somebody emerges to stake such a claim, establishing himself or herself as the leader of this ready-made pseudo-religious cult. Someone who claims to be the living descendant of Jesus Christ. The idea of the sacred bloodline is also gradually integrating with more traditional New Age beliefs and culture, and claimants are treated with interest, even respect, and, in some cases, awe. The New Age does tend to take occult ideas and dilute them with hefty doses of naive love and light. Now, Marilyn Ferguson compiled and espoused a synthesis involving the theories of transformation and the secret plan of the Aquarian Age. And her research of the scientific advancements of this age involving entropy, syntropy, holism, holographs, paradigm shifts, the uncertainty principle, evolution. She discovered that for the first time, an American renaissance would be taking place in all disciples, breaking the boundaries between them, transforming them at their farthest reaches, where they all converge into one. I'm a spaceman. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. More next. I'm a spaceman. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. This is A View from Space, final segment tonight's show. When I talk about the New Age movement, it's really a brainwashing. It's really a mindset, much like being politically correct is. And the New Age movement is not defined by any singular religion. It's by all definitions a movement, yet one that's having severe implications for both its followers and the rest of humanity. See, the force behind this New Age movement wants to define it as essentially the fusing together of religious-based Eastern-influenced metaphysical ideologies with Western, occult, and more recently a much more overt Celtic and Wiccan-based theology. Celtic Druidism and witchcraft itself falls under its many divisions, as well as Satanism, Kabbalah, and demonology. The New Age movement is bound together by notions of universal tolerance. You see what I mean by political correctness. I guess you could say the New Age movement is really political correctness for the new religion. The New Age movement is the natural progression of humanism taken to its next level. Man is God, teaching that man, humans, have evolved biologically and must now evolve spiritually to survive what's coming. Its belief systems are many, syncretic, and believed to be widely diverse, but they all serve their purpose in bringing in what's called the Age of Aquarius. According to them, we are right now moving away from the present age of Pisces, which is defined and symbolized by Christ, upon which they've attached every evil of mankind, by attaching to Christ all of Catholicism's wars, the Inquisitions, the witch hunts they had, the cover-ups, the murders, the pedophilia, to an age of peace, harmony, understanding, and a global personal enlightenment that they say will define the coming of the New Age of Aquarius. The origins of this new movement date all the way back to at least 1875 with the Theosophical Society, which is the works of two of the most well-known occultists in the world, Henry Alcott and the Russian Helena Blavatsky. The Theosophical Society espoused the abolishment of Christianity and Judaism while promoting the total unity of other world religions in their place, even as they claimed that their teachings were revealed by demons in the guise of so-called spirits or elemental guides. They emphasized heavily the evolution of a self-deified master Aryan society and a one-world New Age religion and social order. In 1877, Helena Blavatsky wrote the book Isis Unveiled, which sold out in its very first day in print. An Illuminati event in itself, snapped up very quickly to show this is popular. Like many recording artists used to do. Buy a million of their own albums and stick them in a warehouse and say they sold a million. In 1879, Blavatsky launched the Theosophist, a monthly magazine started in India. By 1887, she launched Lucifer, a monthly magazine started in London, England. The year after that, 1888, Blavatsky wrote The Secret Doctrine, her master work. It was this book which put Blavatsky's Arian anti-Semitic theories on Atlantean and other root races into the mainstream as a religion, which later influenced Adolf Hitler. His own ideas about the Luciferian Arian supremacy, pushing the New Age agenda even further. British-born Alice Bailey founded the Lucifer Publishing Company in 1922, which printed and distributed their own similar teachings, which became one with their intent and goal toward the concept of a Luciferian New World Order, which was to be accomplished and implemented in the 21st century. Checking the calendar. Looks like the 21st century has arrived, doesn't it? Bailey's teachings established the Luciferic initiation, a pledge of allegiance to the Christ, the Masonic Christ of the New Age and of the New World Order. Alice Bailey talked about the plans for a religious war between the forces of good and light, New Agers being the light workers, and the forces of evil and darkness being Christianity, Judaism, Islam, as well as forced redistribution of wealth and the world's resources, which has already happened, hasn't it? Mass planetary initiations into the movement. Worldwide disarmament, not happened yet. A new theology with Lucifer as its god, not happened yet. And the complete elimination of obstinate religions, namely the three monotheistic ones, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. That's what I believe the Third World War will be about. The ideological, who do you believe God is? Battle. Bailey even discussed the sacredness of a future world, New World leader's number of 666, as well as the solar symbol of which would symbolize his reign. Soon after the work of Alice Bailey came Margaret Murray, who's believed by many people who have researched the occult to have made the single greatest impact on the idea of witchcraft in the 20th century. It wasn't until the 1950s, though, that her ideas found the audience she wanted. She rightfully believed witchcraft to be organized devil worship. She says as much in her book called Witchcraft Out of the Shadows. And Gerald Gardner, being another who had his own brand of Luciferian witchcraft, which he named Wicca in the 50s, which has very quickly evolved since it first came to public attention over a half century ago. Gardner was heir to ceremonial groups like the Golden Dawn, the Ordo Templar Orientis, formed by Aleister Crowley. In the 1960s, Wicca became commonly associated with the goddess Diana and Rex Demorensis, Satan in one of his many disguises as world king. At the same time, Wicca appeared very much to the peace-loving people in the 60s generation dubbed hippies. During the 70s, Wicca moved forward a focus on Celtic religion as well as the writings of one Dion Fortune. And there was also Aleister Crowley and his teachings of the Kabbalah, which began to emerge with Wiccan beliefs, too, and their practices. The 80s brought the occult teaching merging into the mainstream under the newly named category New Age. While the 90s witnessed a virtual explosion of new believers, including the usual peacenik mentality left over from the 60s era at the lower end of the metaphysical spectrum, all the way up to the heads of major corporations worldwide in its increasingly organized cultish craft. In the new millennium now, there's even a newer generation of occult metaphysical idealists dedicated to preparing the world's population for the reign of the Antichrist. Guys like David Spangler, Levi Dowling, Norman Cousins, George Trevelyan, Carlos Castaneda, Abraham Maslow, even Ruth Montgomery, Jeremy Rifkin's another, as well as Marilyn Ferguson, whom I've already mentioned, who seems to lay the blueprint for modern New Age movement with her 1980s book. This has been A View from Space. And that's all it's been. A View from Space. On Talk Radio AM 640. Coast to Coast is next. I'm Space, and I'm out.